Okay. This is going to be such a terrible impression. And
so does Stewie Griffin.
It does a little bit. More like Stewie Griffin than it does Marlon Brando. Stewie Griffin doing Marlon Brando.
Oh.
It come to me on the day of my daughter's wedding and asked me to record this podcast of this movie that I've never seen before.
So bad.
Welcome to the 1001 Movies Club. We just watched The Godfather, starring Stewie Griffin.
Oh, so bad. Yeah. I'm your host, Zachary Thomas.
And I'm Jeffrey Haynes.
I'm Jana Bowen.
Oh, man. So, right off the top here, I have to apologize for our initial episode because there were some odd noises here and there that picked up on the mic that I didn't know had picked up until after we...
have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm referring to when I was scratching notes off my... And it was like going... like, yeah. I had no idea the mic was going to pick that stuff up, and it's really loud. So, we'll try to avoid that from now on.
This is me nodding my head.
So we'll start as we did last time, and we'll jump over to Jana for our movie news. What's going on?
Oh, yeah, this said that same thing.
So what's going on in the movie news world?
In the movie news world. Normally, I write for boomstickcomics.com, and that's where you can find everything up to date except for this week because I have had a bad week. But one of the latest stories that we've got up is Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly teaming up to do a Sherlock Holmes and Watson movie.
Hmm.
What do you guys think of that?
I tend to enjoy when they're in movies together. I don't know. I have to wait to see it, because with most of Will Ferrell's comedies, I'm not a huge fan of a lot of, I think.
Really?
It depends. I mean, Talladega Nights I thought was really bad.
Oh my God. See, and I loved him.
Yeah.
I like comedies. The stupider, the better.
I do like Step Brothers, though.
Yeah.
I like that one a lot.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yup.
This project was originally put together for Will Ferrell and Sacha Baron Cohen.
Ooh,
but he had to bow out due to time constraints.
Yeah.
But John C. Reilly has jumped in.
See, this is what happens when a character falls into public domain, folks. You get two running TV series on two different continents.
They're very different.
And now you have another potential movie series coming.
You know, anything from the BBC, though, I'm a huge fan. I love Benedict Cumberbatch's Sherlock.
You're a Cumberbatch.
I love his Cumberbatch.
Benedict Cumberbatch,
folks. She's a Cumberbatch.
I am. Proud to say
but it. I can't blame you.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Amazon has just picked up a new TV series based on the Jack Ryan series.
I heard about that.
John Krasinski is in line to star.
That should be interesting.
What if the author's going to hate that, too?
Well, he's dead.
I was going to say Tom Clancy isn't here anymore, but, you know, if he lets it be known from the grave that he hates it.
That's what happens when these shows don't exist, folks. You don't get informed that the authors have died.
It was like watching your mouth fall down stairs without a
You just said something about someone's grandmother. You didn't know that they were...
Rubber baby buggy bumper.
But I love John Krasinski. I loved him way before he got all buff. Mm-hmm. I loved him on The Office. Dude, did you see him in 13 Hours?
So, did you used to like Guardians of the Galaxy?
Oh, Chris Pratt.
Chris yes. Pratt.
Before he was super, he
was a little doughy. I'm not gonna lie.
He was great.
Good for him.
Yeah, Parks and Rec. Yeah.
Oh my gosh! If someone can make me laugh, that is the key to my heart.
Yeah.
It's not through these rugged good looks, although God knows that's a wonderful package to look at if that person can also make you laugh. But seriously, I go for the funny over anything.
Yeah.
And Pratt was hilarious. John Krasinski on The Office, every time he would fuck with Dwight, I love it. It's the greatest thing in the world.
Fair enough.
Makes me very happy.
Oh, man.
Let's see.
I hear the new Ben-Hur movie is bombing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why
can I say that I called that on the last episode of the show?
Yes, you did, but nobody listened to it.
Well, it's actively bombing right now. The weekend's not over. It's in the process of bombing. It's the Doolittle raid right now.
Regretting that money they spent to hire Morgan Freeman.
The movie's been shoved out of the plane, and we gotta wait to see if Parachute appears.
Get off my plane.
Oh my gosh. They're remaking Clue, which...
I don't know how I feel about that.
I can tell you how I feel about that. I don't know if that'll come across or not.
That's to go in on their trailer, actually. That's going to be one of their... Jenna Bona, Boomstick Comics says...
That's my professional opinion.
It says fart noise on this.
Any movie called Clue that doesn't star Tim Curry does not deserve to exist.
Exactly.
He could be in it. He's not dead. I know that much. Thank you.
He's pretty enfeebled, so though. Oh,
he's going to be in the new.
Yes, he did.
He's going to be in the new Rocky Horror, though.
I doubt he's going to be on that table dancing the time warp, though.
I was going to say, is he going to be the criminologist?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say he.
He's going to be up on that table going. It's a jump to the left. Not unless they marionette him on that table.
You know, it's really disrespectful, but I would watch that one.
Wasn't that Blofeld from
Tim Curry? I love
from
you.
On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
No, it was Diamonds Are Forever.
That's right. On Her Majesty's Secret Service was
that was
Kelly Savalas.
Yeah. I know my Bond history.
Yes, good, because that will come up in a moment on the trivia segment.
I don't know much Bond. Woohoo! Once again, for trivia, I'm just going to hold the mic and let you guys talk.
That guy that played Blofeld in The Criminologist was in a previous Bond movie as well.
Yes.
As a completely different character, one of the few times it's ever happened.
That's accurate.
In the Bond series.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know Daniel Craig is James Bond right now. That's my extent of it. I've seen a lot of it.
Has he not abdicated the throne?
I was going to say, I didn't
he hasn't officially abdicated the throne. Because he made those comments in, what was it, Rolling Stone about... What was it he said? I'd rather slip my wrists than play James Bond again. And then later recanted and was like, well, I was in a bad mood and I said something.
AKA, it was Tuesday for Daniel Craig.
Right.
Dude, you know what? He's got that sexy, angry thing going on. I'd go for that.
Yeah, but...
Apparently there's not a lot I want.
I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, there was something I read that I was going to... Oh, that Guardians of the Galaxy thing. Where according to Vin Diesel, like Captain Obvious, that the
was it really according to Vin Diesel?
That's what the headline I read said. Guardians of the Galaxy will appear
they
in Avengers: Infinity
Diesel
War,
the source.
Citing Vin Diesel as their source, and I was like, that should just read says Captain Obvious because if you pay attention to the movies at all, we know that's going to happen.
I don't know if I'd ever cite Vin Diesel as a source for much of anything, because, you know.
No. Except for bad hairstyle.
I think he's still looking for Iron Giant 2. And like Riddick 17 or something.
All right. Well, I guess we'll jump into our movie trivia now.
All right. Come on down.
Generic game show theme music.
Be nice to me.
All right.
Let's see how
give me time to Google it.
All right, the genre we're going with today is 80s movie trivia. Okay.
Hopefully.
One of my favorite yet worst periods of James Bond films.
It'll come up. All right. Question number one. What special talent did Molly Ringwald... Oops, My battery's dying.
Putting her lipstick on by putting it in her cleavage.
Woo! Look at you!
You didn't have to finish the question.
She knows her Molly Ringwald boobs. Okay, we got...
Molly Ringwald boobs.
How about you?
Weren't really there, but yeah.
What was the very first James Bond movie that was shown in the 80s? What was the last?
The last one was License to Kill.
Okay.
In 89, I want to say. The first one, I want to say, would have been Octopussy. For Your Eyes Only.
For Your Eyes Only, 1981.
Damn. The fact that you could get that close is just... Wow.
Well, there's only like 30 movies to choose from. I mean, yeah,
24.
Whatever.
I bet I couldn't even name five.
I could tell you all of them in order, plus who played James Bond, plus who sang the theme song, plus who played the bad guy and the bad guy's name, and how they died.
Sweetie, you might want to check your OCD. It's showing a little.
All right, next. Name the actress who played the pretty blonde girl Elliot danced with in E.T. the Extraterrestrial. Blonde, pretty.
Yeah, that really
was later on. I think she was on Under Siege, and she, I know she did a Playboy spread somewhere.
Like Bridget Fonda?
No.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Blonde, she, curly hair.
I don't think I know that one.
Damn it!
I know you're talking about when he's dancing in school. I got nothing on that.
Erica Eleniak.
Yes. Damn it! Yeah.
See, I never would have thought of that in a million years.
All right, we're gonna do an extra question because that one didn't go to anybody. we got two more questions. Then again, in The Empire Strikes Back.
I'm listening.
Have I piqued your interest yet? Yeah. What was chewing on the power cables of the Millennium Falcon while Han Solo and company were hiding inside the asteroid cave?
Yeah,
I see it on the tip of your tongue.
Minox.
Ding!
I can see the little thing. I didn't know what they were called.
I had to think about it for a second there because I was going to say Mylock, and I was like, that's not right.
I would adopt you all kinds of street cred for that if you'd said Mylock. Sounds like something Alex Trebek would be pitching on TV. Instead of reverse mortgages or insurance or whatever you're doing. Yeah.
Mylock Home Securities.
Yeah. All right. Final question. Are you ready?
Yes.
What does Ally Sheedy use to decorate her picture in the Breakfast Club?
Dandruff.
Ding! Are we at a tie game at this point?
You just had to give me Breakfast Club clues.
I think it's a tie game.
That's all I've gotten.
Dude, I haven't seen the Breakfast Club in so long.
Really?
All right.
Yeah,
you,
it's been a long, you wanna end well
in
a, over 10
you
years.
Want to end in a draw, or do you want to go for the win?
Yeah.
Go for the win.
Going for the win. All right.
We'll
you give James Bond, I'll kick your ass. I may have to wait till I get the amputation, get the false leg, and then throw it at you, but I'll do it.
What is Q? Okay. In Dirty Dancing, what was Baby's real name?
Francis Howard.
Oh! The king is dead. Long live the queen.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. I just like to thank the Academy.
We're going to start playing you off in a second, so you better hurry.
Flashing a little light in your face.
Yeah.
You only get 10 seconds to give a speech.
Okay, I still have my pants.
For this major award that you just make one.
Dude, this is how few rewards I've won. The fake ones are awesome.
Right?
You know what? Even if I had won 20, I think I'd still be proud of this one. I keep
well, there
your
you
ass.
Go.
Of course, it was on girly stuff, but...
Well, to be fair, I've never seen Dirty Dancing, so... And there's the look.
If you could hear the jaws drop, folks.
I can't even form words hardly.
Now.
How in the hell? Patrick. Special podcast coming up when we break Zach's cherry and make him watch Dirty Dancing.
Not Havana Nights.
A real fan, you don't even have to, like, specify that. There is no such thing as Havana Nights. It's a movie that is completely separate, has nothing to do with Dirty Dancing.
Havana what? Get away from her, Zach.
Don't tell me to calm down.
Just for the sake of disclosure, I've not, you know.
Oh snap!
You've never seen Dirty Dancing either.
I've never seen Dirty Dancing either. I've basically seen the whole. She just Roseanne. Oh my god. She just Roseanne. Did you see that? Oh my gosh. Yeah, I've not seen it either. Ugh. My sister watched it over and over and over, but.
And you've never even seen it.
I never watched the whole thing.
A compilation of the
I've seen various parts of it over time, yeah, but I've not seen the whole thing in one sitting.
And that's the way. I've never seen the whole movie from beginning to end.
Yeah. I think VH1 killed that for me. I might have had a desire to see it at some point, and then VH1 was showing it all the time, so I'm like, yeah, I'm going to forget it.
Oh my gosh.
You know? I don't know.
Yeah, comment if you want us to do a separate podcast just for these two to watch Dirty Dancing.
Hey.
I'm going to make sure I get my family to comment the fuck out of that.
Is it on the list?
No.
But
that doesn't mean we can't, because there are going to be movies that we'll watch for this show that are not going to be included on the list, because...
Including my own personal favorite film of all time.
Dirty Dancing.
No. Superman the Movie is my personal favorite film of all time, and we just found out it is not on the list.
Yeah, we kind of weren't paying attention.
They were going to let me show it and review it, and it wasn't on the list, so I got docked. We will reveal what the next film will be at the end of this podcast.
Yes.
If we get there.
If we get there.
We'll get there.
We've got to get past Dirty Dancing first.
Falling slowly.
I'm going to be living there for a while.
Well, when we do one of our separate films adjacent from the list and you pick and it's your turn to pick,
I need a breakup blanket and I need like
a breakup blanket.
I need to just lay in this valley of shock. And just wallow for a little bit.
Nice. All right.
So, The Godfather.
The Godfather.
The Godfather.
My favorite movie.
Janice's favorite. Yes, this was Janice's pick. Don't know if you can hear it, but we've got music playing in the background. I don't know if it'll pick up or not.
We all just kind of quit there. Of course, all we've been listening to for the last 3 hours.
3 hours.
That's what happens when you come to my place to watch a film.
You live the film.
Well, this week I was the newbie for that. I had never seen The Godfather until tonight. And not unlike the first time I watched The Shawshank Redemption, I was like, I'm kind of mad at myself for never having seen this before, because it was a really good movie, you know what I mean?
That's awesome.
And it's so iconic.
Right.
I think that's what surprised me. I've never had the opportunity, had never presented itself.
I've never owned it, and it's never, like, been on Netflix, and I don't have a lot of streaming sources.
There's only five movies on the planet that are like that iconic.
Right.
The Wizard of Oz is another one.
Star Wars
probably being one of them. I mean, just, you know, and definitely.
But, I mean, I knew, being not unlike Jeff being stooped in film lore, I knew enough about the movie, and I understand references to it in pop culture,
sure.
Where they joke about it on, like, Family Guy and stuff. You know, I get the jokes, but I just... Until this time, I'd never had the opportunity to sit down and watch the entire movie.
Was there anything that actually surprised you about the film? Now, knowing basically the whole... I mean, you knew more or less the whole structure of the film, right?
More or less, yeah. I didn't know that Brando got shot 20 minutes in. I was going to be missing for 2 hours.
I tried to play that up a little bit. I was like, oh, when I saw this for the first time, I thought, oh my god.
And I honestly did not know that the movie opened with that whole, you come to me on the day of my daughter's wedding.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know
that
opened
over with
that scene, and I had assumed that would be later in the movie and whatnot. But
they had to put that first because that really, to me,
sets
it
the
anchors
tone. Oh, yeah.
Him as the Godfather.
Right.
He's important. You don't just say, hey, you know, we should kill this person. It's, I'm scared to ask you, but I have to ask you because I know someone can get it done, and it's you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, he's the go-to guy for everything.
Right.
They go before him, and they show him the proper respect.
That's right, because if you don't, then you could be on the other side of him.
Yeah.
And that gets bloody.
As we saw.
Obviously.
Yeah, the The killing scenes in this movie were beautifully graphic.
Especially for 1972.
Yeah, for a 70s movie. Goodness.
I saw where James Caan was having all the squibs attached to him. Mm. And the guy that was doing it, he's like, we have never, ever done this many on one person before.
I believe it. Did you see how many times he got shot?
Yeah, that was crazy.
I mean, he put Bonnie and Clyde to shame. Both of them combined.
Yeah, it reminded me of the...
But he still made it out of the car.
Because
love.
He's James Caan.
Out of the freaking car.
James Caan is just
James fucking Caan.
Exactly. I'm going to be thinking that anytime someone says Shaka Khan. James fucking Caan.
Yes. Now, as far as the list of accolades, I mean, they go on and on.
Well, yeah,
got,
I mean, how many Oscars did it win?
It won.
I want to say
three.
Only three, really?
But it was nominated.
Well, I know it was
so
right.
Right. So you have Best Picture.
Uh huh.
Best actor in a leading role, won by Martin Brenner.
Which he did not show up for.
Which he, yeah.
He I sent, know that.
He sent a Native American woman
who got booed.
Yes.
For...
And that was when they quit letting anyone accept on someone else's behalf.
Right.
But didn't...
they can set
didn't
it up,
George C. Scott deny... Oh, his was before that.
They can set it up within the academy
was 2 years
to have
before
someone.
That. Yeah.
Like
so
the presenter.
That was a bad couple years for the academy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so we're going to give an award to this actor that we think is amazing. The actor's like, you know what? Nah.
Is it made of chocolate? No? Okay. Then
or bacon.
No shit.
He would shut up for that. No, nothing but love for you, Martin
Brenner.
The
70s. I mean, because they had the Streaker in the 70s.
Yes.
That was in the 70s, too, I think, wasn't it?
Yes. That's
when that guy streaked across the stage.
Yeah. So the only laughs that man will get is for his shortcomings or something?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Was it? Who was that, David Niven?
I think so.
Yeah.
That's
a good joke.
Let's see, the next Oscar, it was nominated for Best Writing Screenplay Based on Material from Another Medium, and that was for Mario Puzo and Francis Ford Coppola. Now, that category is now...
Or Best Adapted Screenplay for
yes,
the layman.
Yes. they finally laymaned it down.
that was a bad joke.
Yes. You got to reach a little bit. Come on, folks. This is all we got. Best Actor in a Supporting Role. They actually had three actors up for Best Actor in a Supporting Role.
Look at the lineup. How could you not?
Well, I mean, yeah, but you always... Obviously, you knew Al Pacino would probably get a nom.
Sure.
Right.
Or nod. James Caan got a nod. But so did Robert Duvall, who I feel like is almost an unsung hero in this film.
Yeah.
You know, as far as acting goes.
Yeah, his performance is very subtle.
Yeah. No one talks about his performance in The Godfather, but he is amazing.
Because he didn't make a splash with it. He wasn't, like, in your face with it, like... Sonny was.
Right.
It was more understated, but it was probably one of the more difficult roles,
right,
I would think, to have to do it, because he's having to be so out of his character and on his own,
right,
as who he is compared to the family.
Yeah, what with not being Italian. And,
right.
And adopted, basically.
Sure.
And, yeah.
Right.
And he's the only one that's not Italian in the cast.
Yeah.
Or supposed to be Italian.
More or less, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's not an often thing to happen, to have three actors from the same movie
right,
nominated in the same category when there
I
were
mean,
probably
two
only...
is unusual. Three is exceptionally unusual.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you have Francis Ford Coppola was up for Best Director, did not win it.
Who did?
I don't have that information in front of me.
I'm just curious.
Wish I had prepared that for you.
Who beat him out that year for
Best Costume Design? Anna Hill Johnston got nominated for that. Best Sound, Best Film Editing, and then Best Music, which was rescinded. The nomination was rescinded by the Academy.
Right.
Due to... Jana, what was the circumstances for that?
It was using... It wasn't a 100% original piece.
Score.
Yeah,
right.
Score.
Right.
There were parts of it that had been used in another movie.
Lifted from another movie.
Sure.
Or from past movies. Right.
Yeah.
Let's see, Best Director.
But
what
best...
was it you said? He pulled a James Horner.
Yeah.
he pulled a James Horner. He used a which I mean, James Horner to some degree was not his work notwithstanding. I'm not trying to comment on the quality of his work because he always put out quality scores. That's not the point. But he always borrowed motifs from himself from previous scores.
Yeah.
Anyone who says he didn't is not listening to the same music I am. You know, that is not, like I said, a critique against him, because I love everything he ever did. Now, you look at this particular film, this case, though, and from what I understand, he lifted entire chunks from the score verbatim.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even changing the melody or anything. Yeah. It's just the tune.
Do you know, Jana, off the top of your head, what movies or movie he had written that music for that he just lifted?
By the way, Bob Fosse won for Cabaret.
Ah, at Bob that Fosse. One.
Wow.
So there's that.
Let's see.
Interesting. Let's I've see. Only seen Cabaret once, and it was a long time ago.
It's been a really long time. Yeah. It says it was withdrawn because it was ineligible because he reused Fortunella.
Yes.
Fortunella score.
Oh, okay.
replaced by a nomination for Sleuth. Sleuth got a nod out of it because they took it away from The Godfather.
Wow.
So Sleuth's like, thank you.
Thank you much.
We're now an Oscar-nominated film, if they weren't already. I'm not really sure.
Yeah. Having never seen the movie before, and just I loved it. It was Brando's performance for me was I don't even know how to describe his performance because it's just
it's that iconic. It's
so amazing. I didn't know it was Brando, I don't know if I would have known.
It's hard to measure his Brando, performance because this is kind of like the stick that you use to measure everything against.
Yeah.
So what do you compare it to since it's the original?
Yeah. And it just...
By the way, Sleuth had multiple nominations that year.
His just... The makeup and it just... He just seems like a totally different person. You know, he's just...
Yeah.
He looks nothing like Marlon Brando. He sounds nothing like, to a degree, nothing sure. like, well, there's still that Brando voice in there, but, you know, having his mouth stuffed with cotton and talking in a more gravelly voice and whatnot.
And only out of one side of his mouth. Did you notice that?
I did see that.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was going for, like, a stroke look or what his really because I don't believe Robert De Niro does that in the sequel
/ prequel, so.
But I don't believe he does that part of the performance. He does do the jowls a little bit,
right.
And as he grows into that, I think he kind of gets more and more of that as the second film goes along. But that's something I think that's unique specifically to Brando's interpretation of that role.
I feel like I may have read somewhere that the studio was very against Marlon Brando being in that role.
Yes.
They wanted somebody else, but Coppola was insistent on having
Brando.
And I think it was Brando. Just because he's so known for being difficult.
Right.
Yeah.
No one wants to put up with him, and at that point they didn't really have to because he wasn't his full Brando.
Sure.
Right. It wasn't until The Godfather kind of put the, you know,
cherry exclamation on top point of his career.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He's not
full Brando.
You know, at this,
and, yeah, he wasn't at his full Brando yet.
Yeah.
He wasn't like at the Streetcar Wild Ones,
right?
You know, on the riverfront days of Brando. It was you know, quite a few years past.
Waterfront.
What'd I say?
Riverfront.
Dear God. Working it's without late. A net, people.
It's late and booze is available. Yeah, because I mean, like by the time he got to Dr. Moreau, I mean. The man was wearing an earpiece and having people feed him lines and forcing the filmmakers to include tiny people that he's friends with in his movie.
It's good to have friends in high places like those people, but
or that's friends the way in I low reach places. Things.
Just saying.
But Brando was just, he was just the consummate professional is what comes across on the screen. You can tell that he always was a method actor because everything with him, it's all or nothing.
Yeah.
Right.
If he's going to give you a scene, he's going to throw his whole body into it instead of just the voice and maybe a few emotions. He's going to just totally transform himself. And I think that's what's really awesome is that the guy that, it's a character that comes off the pages of a book and all but comes out of the screen and sits down next to you to have a conversation with. He's so real.
Yeah.
That's what struck me about him a lot.
Yeah. I feel like the one scene in the movie where Brando really showed Brando was when he, the the singer.
Johnny Fontaine.
Johnny is asking him to get him, yes. when he's crying, and Brando starts screaming, act like a man!
Yeah.
Well, I think the slap really on the Brando face, that was completely unexpected, too. That was just Brando throwing that in there.
Only Brando could throw in a slap and it'd be okay.
Well, he did that in, James Caan did a lot of that.
Yeah.
Like when, it was during the wedding, but when he was out hassling the photographer, he wasn't supposed to take the camera from him.
Throw it on
but
the ground.
But he did, and then he threw it down.
It was either a prop camera or an actual camera. I don't remember that. I vaguely remember it being an actual vintage camera that he broke.
Then the whole thing about him throwing the bills down on the ground.
Yes.
I read something that was, you know, he had grown up with, if you break something, you buy it, you replace it, whatever. So he threw the camera down and then threw some money at him and walked away.
But is that not, I mean, obviously it was a jerk move, but at the same point, it has a little bit of suave save to it. You know, he has a, I'm going to do wrong, but
I know how to make it better.
Yes, right. I know how to. I know how to be me, and is what
despite
we do.
What people say, money can fix pretty much anything, guys.
Except if you're a dick. That's
Well, Sonny, according to the movie, Sonny was 90%.
Okay, so you know, physically, yeah.
Which is more of a bigger thing in the book, right? I've never read
the
book.
No shit, bigger thing.
Well, okay, before you head to that real quick, favorite performance in the film?
For me?
Yes.
Marlon Brando, hands down. He was just so not Brando for me that it just, he was into that role. Just every single time he was on screen, even when he wasn't talking, when he was laid up in that hospital bed and was just probably glad that he didn't have to be talking, knowing Brando.
The subtitle of this movie really needs to be, "Where's Michael?"
Yeah.
That's all he ever wants to know. Where's Michael?
He was just, his performance really just drew me in, and I could tell that you could see the method actor in that performance. He was totally in that character, and it was just all there, and I agree that he deserved the Oscar for that role.
Gotcha.
You know, so that was...
Apparently he disagreed.
He probably sold it later for bacon.
Oh.
Dude, the love of bacon knows no bounds. I would pimp myself out for some really good...
Jana, what about you?
Cat bacon.
What say you about your favorite performance in The Godfather?
James Caan is up there as Sonny. And really Robert Duvall, I think, is one of my favorites.
Love Bobby Duvall.
Because he's, like we touched on before, this is such a... He's an outsider in a family that's very close. He's part of that family, but he's not 100%. You know, flesh and blood like them.
Right.
So he still has to keep his identity in that big overpowering world, and I think he did a really good job with it.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that, and it looks effortless from him.
Yeah.
That's the thing I love, is he just, it's the same guy in Days of Thunder. I mean, he's, you give him a part and he does it. It's nice to watch. It's enjoyable.
And what about you, Jeff?
My favorite performance, obviously Brando's amazing. All the performances actually are amazing. The ensemble is incredible.
Yeah.
But I guess my personal favorite would probably end up having to be Al Pacino.
Yeah.
You know, just taking on that role and watching the kid. Given he has more material than some of the others do in terms of things to work with. In terms of acting. Now, you watch the scenes where, you know, Michael is internalizing a lot of things. You see the wheels turning.
Yeah.
You can actually, you can watch the character kind of go through the thought process of what he's about to do in any given scene that he's in. So, I mean, you know, I guess you could call it eye acting, but. He did an amazing job at eye acting, I guess, in his close-ups.
I think the biggest example of that was when he was in the diner with McCleskey and Sollozzo.
Yeah.
And he comes out of that bathroom, and it's like, he's not the same person that walked in there.
Yeah.
He comes out and you were talking about the, what, the three different.
Yeah, there's on? A, I read it somewhere, I believe, anyway, that basically the three sons, Fredo, Michael, and Sonny, kind of represent different parts of the whole of his of their father. And so you have Sonny, who's the passion and the hot-headed side of it. Then you have Michael, who's the cunning side of it. And then you have Fredo, who's more or less the heart. And so all of them put together make a whole Godfather, but none of them by themselves are the full Marlon Brando, or the Vito Corleone.
Yeah.
And so once you take out the hot-headed, fast-acting passion side of it in Sonny, and Fredo's kind of to the wayside anyway, you're left with the cunning Al Pacino character in Michael, who's just...
The game player.
The game player. The long game.
Oh,
you know, that man can sit and wait for days, hours, years for vengeance or whatever it is that he happens to be, you know, going for.
Yeah.
And that's something that comes out even more in the sequel, in the sequels, that aspect of his character is just fascinating.
And to Pacino's credit, you could see when you first meet Michael, you can see his reluctance to be part of that whole business.
Yeah.
Like, I'm part of the family, I love my family, but I don't want to be in that whole...
He's resisting who he's going to become, almost.
And then as the movie goes on, you can just see him... The more that things happen, what with, like, you know, his father being attacked, and then having to kill those men in revenge for it, and then what happens to his wife in Italy when she gets blown up in the car bomb, and he just falls into a completely almost different person.
Yeah.
So that by the time he sees Diane Keaton's character again, he's almost a totally different person.
Yeah.
Well, one thing that we haven't discussed really is the concept of time in this film. This film skips through days, months, years very quickly.
Yeah.
And without ever really referencing the fact that they've done it. It's kind of up to you to realize
time
has passed. You just have to watch Kids or something, you know, how old these kids are.
Years will go by, and, you know, your only reference point is maybe some dialogue, if that, but usually it's not. You're just kind of
It's a little difficult to get a full grasp of how many years this movie takes place over.
Right.
You know.
Now, like I said, it doesn't do a good job of that, and I don't know if that's really the way I would put it. It just doesn't, I don't know that it's wanting you to really kind of have a concept. It's just kind of, this is life.
Right.
You know, life happens.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm looking at,
You know, life happens irrespective of time. It's just kind of...
Life
finds a way.
All right, Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah. But along with that, though, what were some of the differences from the film? You mentioned that earlier. You guys have
discussed that? Jana, you've read the book that this movie is based
on. It's been more than 10 years ago, but I've read it.
Right.
Well, that's more than the rest of us have, so.
I'm just aware of some of the differences. I never read the book.
Yeah,
so.
Like we mentioned before that the whole thing with Sonny being well endowed is a much bigger plot point in the book, which I think is bizarre, but I mean, it is what it is, but... It's alluded to in the movie when his wife in the wedding is talking to all his other women.
Would you consider the book almost kind of pulpy? How would you classify it? Is it smut? Is it cult?
No, it doesn't read like a porn. You just know he's got a big whammer.
There's a lot of the writing, from what I understand, and the book is very.
Does it read more like an old timey detective novel?
Not really. It's really. I didn't notice a whole lot of difference in how it was written.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't remember that well.
It does help that Mario Puzo also helped make the film, so it's not...
Yeah, there was... Yeah.
Well, and the book was written in the early 70s, before the movie was made. I mean, I think the book hadn't been out that
sure
long.
The date when
I think
it was
Coppola
written.
And Puzo might have been in cahoots before the book came out.
That wouldn't surprise me. But what are some of the biggest differences that you, I mean, can think of, really, that...
The biggest differences for me, Luca Brasi, like we've touched on before, or when we were watching it, I guess we talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
He is a person that I can sympathize with on screen. You know, you really hate seeing him get cut down because he's right there for the Dawn, you know, his right. Dawn. He has such a loyal allegiance to him that you hate to see him go by the wayside when he was just trying to follow orders and do what they wanted. You hated to see him die early yeah. on. But in the book, he's a straight-up dick. It was, none of that stuff from the movie was hanging on. I mean, he killed his girlfriend, and I think she was pregnant, or either that or the baby was born, and he, like, disposed of it.
Oh, wow.
It was, like, goodness. Really dark.
Yeah.
And it's just hard for me to watch him now and think, you know, the happy movie version I had. It's like that whole image is shot. That was probably the biggest difference for me as far as the book and movie go.
Yeah.
I know there, it was a really long book. It was good, but, yeah, I don't remember anything else.
Now, the story behind the actor who played... Luca Brasi.
Yes.
I have so much trouble remembering their names because they're...
Well, you know, I've been, like, living on this movie right. for years. It's...
Well, trying to soak a movie that... Or trying to soak in an iconic movie like that all in one sitting up for the first time, that's going to be difficult.
Right. Yeah.
They're iconic because they're rewatchable.
Right.
And so you'll soak a lot of that up in. Mm-hmm. You know,
and every time you rewatch it, you're going to find something new.
Yeah.
There's going to be a new aspect of things that you're going to be noticing and,
right.
you know.
You'll pick up on different things.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
But the so the story behind that actor who played Luca Brasi, though, is that he was supposedly an actual mafioso at one point.
Right. And according to different reports, because we know how everybody is, they all know someone who knows an uncle
right.
that had this here. But according to one source, he was the only mob member or former mob member that was on the cast.
Mm-hmm.
There are others that claim that, you know, there were quite a few of them in the ensemble. And I know that there was a sit down with the producer. And one of the heads of one of the actual families that was functioning at the time, and they set down, you know, guidelines. They didn't want the word mafia or Casa Nostra. Mm-hmm. They didn't want either of those titles in the movie at all anywhere.
Yeah.
And they had to hire their union laborers for certain parts.
Uh-huh.
Now, Casa Nostra is a reference to what?
Casa Nostra, yeah. It's the mafia. It's just
another name
in
for it.
Italy,
okay.
I believe.
Gotcha.
So.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. I love the story that the Luca Brasi was the in the scene where he's talking to the Don at the
mm-hmm.
wedding. He flubs his. He's
yeah.
you know, he's very nervous, and but that was all real.
And may your first child be a masculine child.
That's so weird. But I've read that behind the story behind that is that he was extremely intimidated by Marlon Brando.
Who wouldn't be?
Dude, the story's about Brando. I mean, exactly like Jeff said, who wouldn't be?
Yeah, who wouldn't be? But I just think it's funny to think a big dude like that who supposedly was an actual mafioso
right.
who's probably killed people, was intimidated by Marlon Brando, who was just an actor, you know, but yeah, and that's why he, but they liked that he was so nervous and that they kept it, you
yeah.
know, in the movie. And
see, one of the parts that was similar to that is a story about Enzo, the
mm-hmm.
baker that comes to the hospital.
Uh-huh.
When he's out front, this was his first movie.
Uh-huh.
And the fumbling and the nervousness while he was trying to get his cigarettes and sitting out there to help Michael if anyone came back, that was because of his first role. He was nervous. And
oh, yeah.
Nice.
The story is they kept that in for the same reason.
Right. The scene in the hospital I thought was amazing.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it was particularly about that scene, but...
Where they moved him?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where they, when they were sharing, and they were, you know...
There was something, and maybe it was because it was that guy's first movie, that makes more sense, but as I'm watching it, part of it seemed a little rough.
Yeah.
Where Michael comes out, the scene almost felt like I was watching a rehearsal for the, what was going to be the final scene. I mean, it wasn't bad, but it was just, it just, the acting, for whatever reason, seemed ever so slightly off. I couldn't even put my finger on what was going on.
Well, see, and yeah. with that, what I attribute it to is, think about it from Michael's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
He has just discovered that there's no bodyguards, there's people coming, he knows that his dad's in danger,
yeah.
and all that he has to help him is a nurse that's telling him to leave,
yeah.
and then you've got this clumsy baker that's just got a big heart.
Yeah.
You know, and he's the one, his dad's safety, you know, relies on him alone.
Yeah.
And that's what I took it as, is the rush, the, yeah, the clumsiness in it.
Yeah. Right. The Luca Brasi murder scene, I don't know, I thought that dude's eyes were going to pop out of his head.
No kidding. And they the way... Just,
I don't know they how he didn't colors. Die the way he was doing that. I don't know.
It's like, how were they
doing
not...
the Valsalva maneuver? What was he doing? It's like, how are you accomplishing these
that,
eyes?
Yeah, that,
out,
that came
know,
off as like they
Arnold
were literally... That came off as like they were literally strangling him mm-hmm. for cinematic effect.
Yeah. So we're going to do this. And
that's taking method to a higher yeah. plane.
What you don't know is that after they called cut, they had to have an EMT perform CPR to keep the man alive.
Yeah.
What's the story behind the cat, by the way? Like,
the cat was that one of those things where Brando... It was a Brando thing, yeah.
Yeah, was that just one of those, like, I found this cat and I want it to be in the movie. Like,
the cat was... Brando found the cat on location and nobody claimed it. It behaved well with him and he just wanted it with him, so they stuck it in there.
I love it.
And
you know, unlike Brando... The cat came back the very next day.
That's good. And so then,
surprised that he didn't send the cat to accept the Oscar.
That's good.
That's awesome.
So when you see the cat, like, laying there and pawing around at him, he kept bumping his mic. So all of his dialogue had to be looped.
No, yeah.
But that wasn't the only dialogue in the film that had to be looped
no,
by any means.
Yeah, not by far.
Every single time Connie's yelling, it looked like she just... everything looked out of sync. Like, she'd be yelling, and you'd hear words, but they weren't matching her lips. So
she'd
like,
be running.
Yes.
When she was running to the closet.
No!
It's like, I'm sorry. She would have to, you know, there would be some move to her voice. It wouldn't be that flat.
Now, you're not... A, Talia Shire fan? Is that, did I gather that while we were watching the film? Is
yeah, I can't stand her. It's her voice. It's yeah.
Who hates Talia Shire? I mean,
me.
Why? But why?
Her voice just gets on my nerves. I don't like that she's... I hate weak women characters.
Mm.
I hate that because uh-huh. it's...
We didn't get strong women characters until 1977,
and that was when I was born, and that's why.
And that was
yeah,
barely.
I dated myself.
Barely, yeah.
Fucking time. Yeah.
And you wouldn't think that a girl who'd been raised as a mafia in a mafia family would take that kind of shit from a guy.
Exactly.
You would think that a girl who had been, you know what I mean? Like.
I mean, look at Sunny. I mean, unless she hung out a lot with Fredo, I mean, how the
fuck? Her and Fredo hung out a lot at the house in the playroom.
They braided each other's hair.
Yeah. That's why Fredo is the way he is.
It's close approximation to Talia Shire.
Well,
telling you, watching Carlo beat the fuck out of her made me want to whip off my belt and beat her, too.
Horrible. That's horrible. But, you talk about people whose voices drive you nuts. Winona Ryder does the same thing to me.
No, my gosh.
Every single time her S's, the sibilance in her voice just drives me insane. She's not bad on the eyes. She's a pretty girl. She's a fine actress. I just
Once again, you could have Mike Tyson double her line. Edward Scissorhands.
No, I mean. And that's the one where that drives me the most nuts because her opening monologue as the old lady in Edward Scissorhands is just like,
yeah,
not speaking.
That's the one part of Edward Scissorhands I'm not that fond of is that opening scene because
it's like the section with Quint on in Jaws the or the chalkboard where he's dragging his
oh,
nails on.
That's what her voice
just,
sounds
yeah,
like to
I,
me. Is that is
that's what Talia Shire sounds like to me?
Wow.
once again, beat the bitch with a belt.
So when it comes to watching Rocky, this should be really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll bring more whiskey.
Or when we have to watch Black Swan, because Winona Ryder's in that, too.
Oh, God.
Black Swan? Is she really? Lesbian Footloose.
Yeah. I didn't realize Winona Ryder was in Black Swan.
Yeah.
You didn't?
Mm-hmm. I had no clue. Mm-hmm. I knew about Natalie Portman, and I knew about Mila Kunis, but...
Yeah, you said
that's
that
all you, that's all you really needed to know. I mean, that's as far as I knew.
And those are some good scenes, I'll tell you.
I mean, you know, I've heard. I did.
Yeah, you can't backpedal that.
No, I've literally never seen the movie.
The internet is a glorious thing. Yeah, that actor who plays Fredo, though, by the way, he's like an Oscar magnet of some kind, because he was only in 5 movies in his entire career, mm-hmm. and every single one of them was nominated for Best Picture, and 3 of those 5 won Best Picture.
That's like a 60% success rate.
Right.
For and winning.
If you did the math like that, just Thank makes you. My head hurt.
Because he was in The Godfather,
yeah.
Godfather Part 2, The Conversation, also directed by Coppola.
Which is ironic, because every single movie that he made was always in the conversation for Best Picture. That thing is
bad.
That was ace. Yeah. They don't get any better than this, folks. This is all we got.
And then he was in Dog Day Afternoon with Pacino again. Mm-hmm. And then he was in The Deer Hunter, mm-hmm. which he was dying of cancer during the making of. I don't know. I'm not sure if he died before the movie was released or not, or if it was after when he died, but... But yeah, The Deer Hunter was his last movie. And
he had to be passionate about that project to put that kind of time into it.
Right, because that's close that to the end of his life. 3.5 hours long. Yeah.
It was shortly after he completed his role, but I don't. It looks like it was probably before the film came out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he. I don't know if he got nominated for any awards for any of those movies, but every single one of those movies was nominated for Best Picture, and 3
if nothing
of
else,
won.
It was a lucky charm, you know?
It's some kind of a lucky charm, yeah, because he drew Oscar magnet.
By the way,
do
you know who his significant other was at the time of his death?
Uh-uh.
Take a guess. Major actress.
Major actress?
Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep.
No fucking way.
Can you not? Meryl Streep.
Holy shit.
She was with him from 76 to his death in 78. Wow. Yeah. And the movie did come out posthumously, by the way.
Yeah.
It came out in 79, so.
Yeah.
Oh, it released wide in 79.
It may have been while they were making The Deer Hunter then, because she was in that.
Could have been.
Yeah. Mm. Could have been while they were. Yeah. That's wild.
I'm still just amazed I got it right.
Right? I don't think I would have guessed it off the first try like that.
That's utter shock you hear there, folks.
I would have had to have a few more clues.
Well, technically... He does appear in archive footage in The Godfather Part 3.
Oh, hey, well, there you go.
If you count that as his, he's in 6.
There you go.
There you go.
His nominated Best Picture.
Right.
But that takes him down to a 50% success rate if you do that. Who's counting, you know?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Well, all right, I think that's it for this one. Unless anybody else has anything else they want to talk about on the movie.
I'm good right now.
Yeah. All right. Well,
my Godfather glory.
Next week we're gonna do Star Wars.
Holy shit! Everyone in the room jumped, including me, and I knew what was gonna happen. Sorry.
So yeah, if you can't tell from that music,
we're doing Star Wars.
Star Wars Woo! Next week.
There will be lightsabers. There will be cheering. There will be many tons of popcorn consumed. Dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
There will be no bras in space.
No.
Or on the couch.
Gaffer tape, yes. But not bras.
Yes. So, Star Wars is a... It's Jeff's pick.
Oh, yes. Strap on your PVC.
Singing in the Rain was mine, and Godfather was Janice, so we went. Jeff wanted to do
Superman the movie.
With Christopher Reeve and Gene Hackman, but we...
And Marlon Brando.
And Marlon Brando, yeah. 2 in a row with Brando. That would have been fun. But
would have been fun, yes.
As we've discovered, the Superman is technically not
on the list, so... So Star Wars is his backup, if you could believe
that's okay,
that.
Okay, we're still going to do plenty that aren't on the list.
If you could see my chagrin on my face.
Oh, God, it is time to wrap it up. The puns are getting worse. Yeah.
It's after 1 a.m., folks, for us, so this is what we got. But yes, right. Star Wars, it's going to be amazing. Space opera.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We'll have lots of discussions about what people hate about the newest versions of the movie, because I imagine that'll be the one we'll be watching, the Blu-ray.
The Blu-ray cut,
edition.
Yes.
Yeah.
DTS, HD Master Audio, 6.1. It's an amazing.
All that good stuff. So join us next week for that. You can follow Janet on Boomstick Comics. She writes over there.
Boomstickcomics.com. I'm on Facebook and Twitter. Instagram, Snapchat, you name it, I do it.
All that good stuff. Follow us on, subscribe, I guess would be the better word, on iTunes. We're on iTunes now, so you can subscribe to us there. You can listen to the show on Podmatic, and you can also find us on Facebook. You can just search for us on Facebook, 1001 Movies Club, and join the club. So, I guess we'll
see you next week. I'm going to do my Stewie playing Marlon Brando impression again. I don't know why it falls into Stewie with some reason.
It's like spot on for Stewie. So I don't know about Brando, but that's spot on for Stewie.
I'm trying to do the Brando, but it keeps coming out of my mouth as Stewie Griffin. So, yeah. All right, so next week
we'll
do Star Wars.
Join us next week as we watch Star Wars.
Star Wars.
I don't do voices.
Until next week, may the Force be with you.
Woo! Woo! Yeah!